And I believe all kids 3 to 7 make their way out this morning to Children's Church. We'll be receiving the offering from them. You done? How quietly they're making their way out this morning. It is good to see all of them here today, all of you guys. I know we've had a lot of sickness going on in the church. Would like to highlight a few prayer needs. I know many of you have been sick, and certainly we want to pray for you today. But we also have several that have been battling cancer. We want to continue to pray for them, and when I'm made aware of specific times of struggle or weeks of difficulty, I like to highlight that. So many of you join us in prayer throughout the week. I got a text from Brother Nance this morning and said that Derek had an unusually difficult week this week. So I told him that we would certainly be praying, especially for her this morning. But all of our folks that have been undergoing treatment and sickness, it's just good to see many of you here today. But let's pray especially for Dare this morning. Also, Michael Lunsford, I think, is up there with in Tennessee with his mom, and she had a week, thought they was going to wind up having to do some maybe emergency-type surgery on Friday, but it looks like that God is kind of clearing some things up right now, but he's still there with her, and so pray for her and certainly many others. And many of you, we got a lot of different things happening in our church family. We got a lot of struggles and issues going on, and let me ask you to join with me in prayer. How many of you have a special prayer need this morning? Just hold your hand up. We want to pray for those needs today before the Lord. Certainly grateful our God hears. As we saw 2 weeks ago, our God hears and answers our prayers. It's one of the benefits and the blessings of walking in fellowship with the God of the universe. And so this morning, let's avail ourselves of this privilege. So as I pray, will you pray with me this morning for the various needs that you have and that you are aware of today? So let's bow our heads together this morning. Father, I thank you today that, thank you for the incredible music that has so stirred our hearts this morning and lifted us off of our own personal circumstances and focused our minds and our hearts upon you and upon your Son, the Lord Jesus, and the incredible wonder of your grace that has been given to all of us. And this morning, Lord, I pray especially for those within our church family that have specific needs. I think especially of Sister Dare, and she's been undergoing her treatment for cancer and had an unusually difficult week this week. And certainly we lift her up and we do ask, first of all, God, if it would bring glory to your name, that you would heal her, that you would raise her up off of that bed of sickness and affliction. Pray that you might also strengthen her and strengthen Brother Jeff as they walk this road together. And all the families of our church that have been undergoing treatments, them individually, for those that have been undergoing it, as well as their family, their spouses and children. God, I just pray that you'd wrap your arms around each of those families and strengthen them as they go down this road with you. I'm thankful, God, that nothing happens in our lives that has not come from your or through your hands. Even times of immense difficulty and struggle and uncertainty, but I'm grateful that because we rest carefully and comfortably and securely in your hands, as we heard in Romans this morning, what can separate us from the love of God? We just come this morning and bring our heavy burdens to you. Jesus' own words said simply this, "Come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I thank you this morning for the rest that can only come from your hands. Thank you that we can have peace in the midst of storms and difficulty. We can have joy in the midst of sadness. Lord, we can of all people, we can walk through the most difficult and grievous times and still be able to give you praise. Even now, you bring to my mind Paul and Silas after being flogged and beaten and publicly humiliated and cast in prison. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises to your holy name. I thank you that it's in those very seasons that you do your greatest work in us. So even today, as we come to the table of your word, you are our teacher. Help us as we open up this treasure chest to uncover and discover the beautiful diamonds, rubies that you have there for each of us as born-again believers in Jesus Christ. And should there be some here today that do not know you as their Savior, do not know Jesus as their Savior and Lord, or do not know you as their Heavenly Father, may this be the glorious day when they will realize their absolute need of you. May you bless and draw them to your side. And should there be some, no doubt there are, that, Lord, are walking afar from you, use this time in your word together today to draw them back to you, back to your faithful, loving, gracious, long-suffering side. We love you and we thank you for first loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you already been looking at the sale papers for this week? Yeah, let's be honest. Tell the truth here. The rest of you will be. In fact, I was doing that early this morning before my wife got up. I went over to, she's got a chair she sits in, and I scooped one of the sale papers and I'm not talking about necessarily Target or wherever. Those are sale papers. But I was looking at the one for Food Lion. And as I was going through the Food Lion page and just looking at all the different things, I thought about how blessed we are as a people. You know, if you've been out of this country, some of you have done that, and certainly in military. Others have done it on just trips. Some have done it through missions. If you've been to a country that's not quite as wealthy as we are, you realize how blessed we really are. I was just sitting there looking through the meat section. I'm a typical male. I like meat. And we were having a discussion this week, and Alicia and Tammy were talking about what we were going to prepare for Thursday. And, of course, John's wanting some steaks, and Alicia's wanting some turkey, and I'm wanting, like, ham. Okay, so, you know, we're looking at three or four types of meat already. We can't have it all. But what an incredible place that we live. Because you can go to about any grocery store, and you can get about any cut of meat. Even today I saw leg of lamb, I saw crab cakes, I saw all types of fish and shrimp available. I mean, I'm just tons of all different types. What an incredible place that we live. We're incredibly blessed. As good as this is and as good as all those things are, I'll tell you right now, they do not hold a candle to what the Lord communicates to us through His Word. And the incredible things that God has done for us. As you saw 2 weeks ago as we were in 1 John, and I want you to turn there this morning. 1 John chapter 5. There's only about 300 people, and there's only 200 here, fanning this morning. Let me see how hot it is. Oh, it's only 73. Let's see here. Let me switch that over, and I'll put it on 70. By the time you leave, it'll be wonderful. Okay? 1 John chapter 5 this morning, and what we're going to do is we're going to review for a moment some of the blessings that we saw several weeks ago. That God has done for us. And listen, if you weren't here, if you didn't write this down 2 weeks ago, you need to write this down today. We complain too much in America. We complain far too much. If we have to sit at a stoplight too long, we gripe about it. Hey, go to California. Who's been to California? Danny, you all been out there. Do we have traffic jams around here? No, thank you. We complain about everything. We are so blessed. We need to get a life. We need to quit this mess. As I said, even our present election process. You know what the Lord reminded me this week as I shared on Wednesday night? The Lord reminded me, quit complaining about our president. If you're not praying for him every day, don't you dare utter a word of condemnation toward him. Because the Word of God says, first of all, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all them, for all that are in authority over you. If we don't pray for our president, our vice president, our Congress, our House of Representatives, our governor, our mayors, all the way down to city council, don't you dare complain about them. You've not earned that right. You've not even done what God has said. You know what we find? It's far easier to complain than it is to obey. The real heart of this issue, guys, is that we're spoiled. The real heart of the issue is that it's all about us. It's about what makes us happy. what makes us feel good. And when it doesn't make us happy, it doesn't make us feel good. You know what we do? We gripe, we complain, or we go somewhere where people will tell us what we want to hear. Kind of sounds like the Laodicean church of Revelation chapter 3, doesn't it? Can I say this today? Every single one of us need to write down these five assurances today. These five blessings that God has given you. And when you're tempted to complain, you pull this card out and you say, Lord, I want to thank you for. Because these things will focus us. I still don't understand, number one, why we don't have 100 people in our choir. You say, well, I don't sing good enough. Bull. Robin, do you do singing tasks for the choir? I didn't think so. She even lets me sing up there from time to time when I'm walking through. I'll say this, guys. Why don't we have 100 singing? Why is it that when we sit out here and sing, we go, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Whatever you got, I don't want it. Okay? You need to go see my doctor. Okay? What is wrong with us? Why is it that we don't sing, we don't celebrate, that we don't clap, that we don't incredibly just rejoice in the wonder of who He is and what He's done for us? I'll tell you what's wrong. We're selfish. We're worshiping our own idols. And in 1 John chapter 5, and as I said several weeks ago, as we studied through this together, as we began this study, one of the things that we see, we know about John, the Gospel of John was written according to John 20, I think it's verses 20 and 21. He's told us that he wrote that gospel that people might come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's Bruce's paraphrase. But I'll tell you, in this summary statement, these verses from verse 13 to verse 21 are what John says, hey, here's my summary now. For those who are already believers, this is what I want you to get out of this epistle or this letter, okay? And they are incredible. And as I studied this morning, I told my wife, I said, you know what, I love this today. It's exciting to me as I study God's Word and just continue to see Him over and over reinforce His incredible love for mankind and all that He's done so that we might encounter Him and encounter life. So start with me now. Let's read verses 13 through 21 of 1 John chapter 5, and then we're going to go back and we'll review the first three points. Verse 13. John says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So that helps us to know who he's writing to. He's talking to Christians, true believers, that you may know. And I told you, I think there's 9 times in this verse, in these verses that we see that phrase, that you may know, okay? That you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is also a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. Verse 18, we know that everyone who's been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come, has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Now notice how he closes this whole session out. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Wow, I thought as I got to that, and we'll get to this at the end of it this morning, but I got to the end and I said, that is the key that unlocks the door to this whole passage. What he's trying to do is keep believers focused on the main things. And the main things are not what make you happy. The main things are who God is and what God has done to bring us into right relationship with Him and to bring us into the fullness of life. I'll say this, guys. God wants you and I to experience life in all of life's fullness. If we choose to do it in our own intelligence, our own energy, apart from the very words of Holy Scripture, you will find yourself settling for a secondary lifestyle. We call it carnality, fleshliness. He calls it idolatry. Anything other than living life in simple day-by-day walk of faith with Him, we run a very powerful risk that we're walking in idolatry. We get up in the morning, we decide what we're going to do, where we're going to go, how we're going to live this day without any consult of what God has done and what He desires to do in and through us. Now, I want you to see this because he starts off in verse 13, and we're going to look there first of all. The first thing that he reminds us, first of all, is this, that God has given to each of us eternal life. Now, we know from the Scriptures, you don't get eternal life by having head knowledge. You get eternal life by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as for your personal Savior. We're talking about you place your personal faith in the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross to pay the penalty of your sin. By you and I placing our trust in Jesus Christ, in His work, we have been given the gift of eternal life. And eternal life is not a goosebumpy feeling. It's not something you get when you get up out of the baptismal pool. It's not something you get at the end of life. Eternal life is walking in intimate fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. It is you joining with God in your daily life. And I'll tell you, religion just strangles the snot out of people because we relegate our walk of faith down to a list of do's and don'ts. But in reality, our walk of faith is you and I walking in daily communion with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. It is an exciting adventure that God has intended for all His children. All of His children to engage in day by day, moment by moment, mountaintop and valley, and everywhere in between. Life with Him. Incredible. We certainly spent much time on that several weeks ago. First thing God has done for you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, He's given you the gift of eternal life. Man, you need to thank Him for that. Thank Him for this incredible relationship. You know, when you guys gather together, Lord, thank you for the turkey. Well, turkey's a nice thing, but you know what? What if you don't have a turkey? How about we hold hands around Thanksgiving table and we say, Father, thank you for the precious gift of eternal life through your Son and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Man, that's called lifting our heads. Get our eyes off the world. Get our eyes on spiritual truths. Incredibly powerful assurances that God has given. The world does not get it. But when you've believed on Jesus Christ and He saved your soul, you get it. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. Second thing we saw in verses 14 through 17. As a result of this newfound relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, we today have the incredible privilege of prayer. We saw it, the second thing. God hears and answers our prayers. Not always the way we want, not always when we want it. But God hears and answers our prayers. Now stop, think about this for a moment. Go back to Genesis 1, go to John 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The God who created the heavens and the earth by the words of His mouth, you and I have the privilege of praying to Him. Think about that. Under that second point, you put down, how does this right here affect my prayer life? Some of us ask such mealy things when we do pray, things that we could oftentimes handle ourselves and should handle ourselves. Where have those gone in the Church of Jesus Christ in America today that truly believe that God's prayer to Him changes things? I read over and over, and I've heard testimony after testimony of God's people, His parents, His mamas, His daddies, His children, crying out to Him, believing prayer and seeing God move and work in lives. What the problem is in our culture today is we've got this thinking ATM culture. We just go up and we go, pull. You don't even get to leave your card in there anymore. You stick it in, pull it back out. And then you got to type in your little code. And then you got to say, okay, here's what I want to do. And then you get whatever you want and you go on. Well, we tend to turn that into our relationship with God. And so we come to God with some little prayer and we say, Lord, bless. Lord, bless so-and-so. Nothing wrong with saying, Lord, bless so-and-so, but think about that. What does that mean? What does it mean just to simply say, Lord, bless. Lord, bless, Brother Charlie. What does that mean? Think about it. Think about the prayers that you've prayed even this morning before you've come. How specific were they? How much faith was involved in what you asked God for? Oftentimes I come over here on Saturday evenings alone, various times as the Lord allows, and I'll walk in here and I'll walk. And I'm trying to be very specific. And I've told you before, that book, The Circle Maker, has really blessed me and helped me in circling the promises of God in prayer specifically. I pray them. I'll walk around and I'll walk these sections here and I'll pray over each of you in these sections. I don't know who's going to sit there the next day, but I ask God by the power of His Holy Spirit to open sin-scarred and sin-blinded eyes to His Word and to His truth. I ask His Holy Spirit to work in the midst of our congregation. I pray for our choir. I pray for the folks up here. I try to pray very specifically, and I've not arrived. My faith in regards to prayer needs to grow. It needs to be stretched. One of the things that John said, I want you to never forget, is that God hears and answers your prayers. We tend to think, well, that's the preacher. He goes over there on Saturday nights and he does that. Listen, God does that for every one of you if you're His child. When you get on your knees, when you bow your head in prayer, you enter the presence of God. It's not how long you pray. It's not even where you pray. It's that you pray heart to heart with God. He hears the prayers of His people. He hears your cries. You say, well, I've been praying for years. I'll never forget Miss Josie telling me I've been praying for my husband when she first came to this church. Boy, I don't know how long it's been now, Miss Hensley, but she first came, her husband was still living. And still lost. And we continued to join with her in prayer. She said, I've been praying for my husband, I think you said 50 years. Is that correct? 50 years she prayed. God save Bob. And you know what? I'm just glad to be there when I knew he got saved. What a blessing. God hears and answers. Sometimes He hears and answers after one time. Sometimes He wants you to knock. Nothing worth having is not worth working for. You need to work for it. You want to see somebody saved, you pray till God saves them. You pray, you tell them about Christ, you give them tracts, you ask God. If they're not local, you ask God to send somebody in that is local, that'll carry the gospel in. And then don't be so surprised when God does it. Isn't that always amazing? Y'all ever done that? I've prayed specifically, asked God to do something, then He does it, and I go, wow, can you believe it? Ah, Father, yes, we believe it. First thing, guys, be thankful because He has given you the gift of eternal life. Secondly, He hears and He answers your prayers. And I guarantee you, every one of us need to strengthen our prayer lives. We need to ratchet it up. You need to make that a priority. And Satan don't want it to be a priority. He knows that when the church is on its knees, I'll tell you now, he trembles. The resources of heaven are available when God's people pray. You say, well, God, can He provide financially? Wow. I think it's Dr. John R. Rice had a book he wrote back in the 30s. He's a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. I think it says asking and receiving. It's an old book. And they just went out in the old brush arbor, got on their faces at a stump and cried out to God. They used to ask God, how many people you want to be saved tonight? And they'd ask God. Once they got a number in their heart, they'd begin to cry, God, I pray You'll save 10 tonight. I pray You'll save 20 tonight. You want to know why we don't see more people saved? We're not asking. You say, well, we're in a different society. No, there's been sinners since the day Adam fell. It's been a dysfunctional society for thousands of years. Pray. Pray. And don't quit until he answers. That's one of the blessings of walking with God. Thirdly, quickly, he grants victory. That's in verse 18, over the power and the penalty of sin. I love that portion because I'll tell you what God does. You know what he does? He sets us free, not just from the penalty of it, which would mean eternity separated from God, but by faith in Jesus Christ, the power of sin has lost its grip. If we go back to it, it's because we have chosen to go back to it. God has given us the power in the work and person of the Holy Spirit to set us free. The reality of it is that we just need to understand God wants us to walk in purity and in holiness. In fact, I love that song, Give Us Clean Hands, Give Us Pure Hearts. And I'll tell you what, you take that to God in prayer. Lord, do I have clean hands? Is there anything that I've done or said, anyone that I'm going behind the scenes and sowing discord? Lord, is there anything in my life that I've done, Lord, that doesn't leave me with clean hands before you? Do I truly have a pure heart? You see, God has given us the ability through the Holy Spirit and His Word to walk in freedom. And let me say this, there's freedom when you have a clean hands and a pure heart. Do you realize that? Isn't it freeing to walk in communion with the Lord? This is not some super spirituality, guys. This is the walk of faith. He wants us to walk in that beautiful relationship. He wants us to walk in freedom from sin and its bondage. That's a testimony to this world. This world doesn't have the ability to break free from sin. They just bounce from one sin to another, seeking to find satisfaction. Quickly now, I want you to look in verse 19, the fourth thing that God does, which is so powerful. God changes our position in life. Look with me in verse 19. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Two things in this verse that are extremely powerful. First of all, that we see is our new position is identified. He said this, we know that we are from God. Do you realize this today? Certainly we understand it through Scripture, John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, where he says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. What he's teaching us is that from the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, he gives us a new nature. We are, from that moment in time forward, in God. And let me say this, God in us. Colossians 3:3 says it this way, For you have died, the old nature, your old self, has died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Everything God is and has is available to those who are in Him. That's us. We are His children. Now think about that for a moment. All of us are somebody's children, right? And all of us possess the DNA of our family tree. Some of it good, some of it not so good. Would that be accurate? We possess that human nature, that human DNA, and certainly we're identified by that. But you know what's happened? When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, He plants within us a totally new nature. It's the very nature of God Himself. And we are from that moment in time forward to reflect the nature that we have from Him. That's why I've often said, He will change us from the inside out. Legalism seeks to make us conform from the outside in, well-intentioned as it may be. What really needs to happen is because all we will become is whited sepulchres, Scripture calls it, whited painted tombstones. What happens when we come to faith in Christ is He changes us from the inside out. We have a new nature that's in us, and that's why He calls it in 2 Corinthians 5:17. He simply says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, y'all remember what he says? He is a what? New creation. Older King James just says new creature. Well, if you want to call yourself a creature, have at it. But it means a new creation. Okay? It means that you are new. God is creating within you through the power of the Holy Spirit that new nature in you. He's going to make you like Himself. That's why He can say in Romans 8, 9, I believe it is, that those that do not have the Spirit of God are none of His. Because when His nature's not in there, it doesn't matter how many times they've been dunked, sprinkled, poured upon, how many churches they've joined, how much money they put in offering plate, or how many songs they can sing, how many messages they can preach. If there's not a new nature living in there, they've never been born from above. Hebrews calls it you're illegitimate. You do not belong to Him. When we're truly born from above, He gives us a new position. We are children of God, no longer children of Adam. In the old state, in the old position, and that's the second thing I want you to see under point four, is that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. Our old position is clarified. When you come to faith in Christ, all of a sudden it's amazing how things become clear. We'll talk much more about that in point five. We know and we understand that man is born in the family of Adam. And we know that in Adam, sin fell upon all the human race because of the sin of that one man. So therefore, every human being born since Adam's fall has been born under the dominion, under the power of sin itself. And certainly if we remain in that sin, those in that first state, that old nature, guess what? We will spend eternity in that state, separated. The Bible calls it, you die in your sin. But I want to read to you very quickly. I want you to see this. Go back over to the Gospel of John just for a second, please. John chapter 8 this morning. John chapter 8. What's happened in our culture today is that we see such a blending. Satan tries his best to blend the system of the world with the system of God. Tries his best to blend the system of Satan and the system of God. And listen, it's impossible. There are only two states on planet Earth. Every person in here, you have one father here today. Only one in regards to your spiritual condition. Here's what he says in John chapter 8. We're going to start reading in verse 39. Jesus' conversation is with the Pharisees. Here's what he says. And they answered him and they said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me. They sought to kill Christ, the Son of God. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did. And they said to him, we weren't born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? And it's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil. And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God, and the reason you do not hear them is that you are not of God. What we see very clearly, and we understand that, John understood it, there are only two ways. You're either walking in fellowship with the God of the universe, you're His child, or you're walking under the authority and the power of Satan. There is no in between. There's no middle ground. You're either with Him or with Him, with God or with Satan. Now certainly we understand, and it's what he said, the whole world lies in the power, under the power of the evil one. We know that. Can you not see that in our world today? It has his desires, and it does his desires. It espouses Satan's opinions, the world's opinions, and it believes his lies. It fits his mold. And let me say this, what we're finding today, it insists that you conform to that mold as well. Have any of you noticed that since the election? There's been an onslaught against true biblical Christianity. Go read CNN's headlines over the last 4 days. Note how many different opinion things and blogs and things have been written regarding biblical Christianity. They're attacking our faith. They're seeking to make us conform to the world's desires. We're supposed to embrace everything that the world says we are to embrace. We're supposed to believe everything that the world says to believe. Listen, don't be surprised. This has been going on for 2,000 years. Understand, this is the battle that we're in. And what we see is that God changes our position in life. We are now operating under the fact that we are the children of God. We don't belong to this world. In fact, I love, and I'm going to read you this very quickly. I read this morning, just blessed my socks off, because it's exactly what he's revealing here. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, he said this. Here, notice the two states. You'll see the old state and the new state, and you'll see God's plan and purpose for us in the new position. He said this to the Ephesian believers, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our own flesh, carrying out the desires of our body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." That's our old nature. That's our old position. But because of faith in Jesus Christ and the incredible gift of eternal life, here's what he said, verse 4, "But God," I love that phrase, "but God, who being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." You see the two lifestyles, the two positions? And what John says back in 1 John chapter 5, that we know that we are from God. We don't fit the world's mold. There's only two. There's the saved and the lost, the redeemed and the unredeemed. We've been called to a new position, a child of God and not children of the devil. We are children of heaven and not children of the world or of the earth. That's why in 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15, he said, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Understand this. When you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, if you can love and embrace the world and everybody's happy, guess what? The love of the Father's not in you. You're not truly born from above. What you'll find is that when you truly know Jesus Christ as your Savior, one of the blessings and benefits He's given is that we know we're the children of God. We no longer fit here. And that's why He says, don't love the world. He said, all that's in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the prides and possessions, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. John said that very thing. You can't straddle the fence. We've been given a new nature. We're God's children. And that's why he said in James 4:4, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" Think about that. "Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." How could they say that? They can say that because God has given us a new position. In fact, that's why I told somebody one time, I said, you know what, I've got liberty. I could go to one of the same old bars I used to go to down in Kannapolis. I got liberty. But there's no appeal there. There is nothing that, I think I remember the name of it, Terry's down in Kannapolis offers me today. Nothing. That's the world. I go in there, what am I going to do? I'm going to start telling them about Jesus Christ. He'll set them free from the bondage of this sin. They're not going to let me stay long. Why is that? Because the world and certainly heaven, they don't mix. And when they do mix, that's why so many Christians are so stinking miserable. We've tried to blend. We try to fit. We try to make everybody happy. There's only one person we need to please on planet Earth. God the Father. You please Him. My only prayer for my children. I used to pray this big long list for my kids. When you get adult kids, you can't keep praying all them long lists. The Lord showed me one day, you know what the real issue is? If they will love me with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength and love others as themselves, the rest of it will fall in place. So that changed my prayer for you guys. My prayer now is, Lord, I pray, and I call them by name, that they will love you with all of their heart and soul and mind and strength, and that they will love others as themselves. What happens? That they will just embrace their new position, children of God. Then quickly, we have been blessed with that new position, but now verse 20, guys, see this one. We've been given a new perception. This is powerful, guys. Notice what it says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. Okay, now we're going to stop here just for a second. First of all, I want you to see, we see the origin of this new perception. It's called the incarnation. And as I thought through this today and I read some other stuff, I was like, wow, this is really true. There's actually two incarnations, God becoming flesh. Did you realize that? The first one is the historical incarnation. It took place about 2,000 years ago when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But do you realize that since that day, there have been literally millions of other incarnations that have taken place? The moment that a person believes on Jesus Christ, guess what? The Spirit of Christ moves into that believer. All of a sudden, guess what? We are God incarnate. Does that mean that we're all God's? Only in the fact that He lives within us. But the reality of it is, there is an experiential incarnation that takes place. And guess what happens? Because He comes and moves within us, He gives us understanding. And listen, if you've been saved very long, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You see and understand spiritual verity, spiritual truths. This is a gift that God has given. He has given us understanding. In fact, I liken it to this. He's given us a new set of eyes. We see things from heaven's perspective, from God's perspective, from truth's perspective, instead of from the world and the flesh and the devil. Understand this, we have a new set of eyes. We see and understand these spiritual realities. You remember that passage in John 9 where Jesus came and He healed the blind man? And he was like going nuts. I mean, he was rejoicing and went around. Well, the Pharisees immediately set on the attack mode. Who did this? And da-da-da-da. And they went to him and they said, "What did that guy Jesus, isn't he a sinner?" And his response was simply this: whether he's a sinner or not, the one thing I do know is once I was blind and now I see. Can I say that? Can any of you remember when you were blind? Man, I can remember when I was blind. I can remember when people would come and tell me spiritual truth. Man, it's freezing in here now. Whew. Putting my jacket back on, can we? Bust out the blankets here in a minute. Woo, it's kind of like living at the house, isn't it? Husband turns it down, wife turns it up. Mm. All right, it'll cool down in a minute. I'm sorry, I told you about time we was going to leave. We'll be fine. Y'all snuggle up, okay? Y'all remember that? You remember, you could hear spiritual truths and you'd go, huh? Huh? Y'all remember that? Somebody would say, it's so clear, don't you see it? And you'd go, no, man, that looks like Greek stuff to me. And then when you trusted Jesus, I'm not saying we all became Bible scholars. That's why He said study to show yourself approved. But you know, all of a sudden things began to get clear. All of a sudden you begin to understand why some things happen. And you begin to see things clearly. And I'll just say this, the beauty of what He's trying to do is that God wants us to understand. But I want you to see that it's just not understanding about things. Read on in verse 20. He has given us understanding. Notice what it says, and you need to underline this. This is huge. That we may know Him who is true. Who's the Him? Jesus. That we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. what John is doing is he's bringing this whole thing to a close. As he's saying, guys, God has done so much. The greatest is now he's given us a new perception. And because of that new perception, we are able to know Jesus. We're able to know Christ as the one who is true, who is truth. In fact, I just jotted down a few scriptures. Jesus even said it in John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life. Think about those words. Way, truth, life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Huge. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Acts 4:12, there is salvation in no one else. No one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Philippians 2, 9 and 10 says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, listen to this, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Another passage that says also that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Guys, you and I today, because of what God has done for us, we can not only engage a fullness of life, we can engage and connect with the one who is himself life itself. We can join with him in an incredible work on planet Earth. We can join with God, the creator of the universe, and his son Jesus, the savior of the world, in redeeming this universe to himself. Because scripturally speaking, and we know this to be true, we are not evolving to a higher plane. We are devolving. Just look at how far our own culture has fallen since we've rejected God's word, since we've rejected the power of prayer. We can't even keep couples together anymore. Marriage doesn't happen. We don't even have, there's more children born out of wedlock today than ever before. And guess what? 20 years from now, it's going to be worse. We're not evolving up, we're devolving down. And we have been left behind as the people of God to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ to those who are without hope and without help in this world. He is the true God, he says, and eternal life. It's all about our relationship with God. Now, what is intriguing to me is how he ended this. I would have probably ended it, guys, and I would have said, so guys, let's praise God for all he's done. Never forget his blessings. But God, through the Holy Spirit, to John, put these words in verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Now listen, guys, if you've not heard a thing I've said, hear this. Keep yourself from idols. For the believers today, what John said 2,000 years ago was this. Keep yourself from those that are called idols. Now we immediately think of a totem pole or a rock or some image that somebody might be bowing down to worship. Let me just say this. An idol, biblically, is anything that takes away our love and devotion from our Father and our Savior. Let me say that again. An idol is anything that takes away our love and devotion from our Father and our Savior. Take a moment. Examine your own heart for a moment. Think about it. Do you love Jesus more than anything? I think some used to could say that. And listen, how easy is it to have an idol? The Lord's convicted me this week. Is there anything or anyone more important to you than Jesus and your relationship with him? It can be a person, a relationship, a position, a job, a ministry. It can be money, a task. Does he take precedent, I'd say priority, over all people, all places and things. We live in a society filled with idols, and more ways to have more idols than any other culture. We are incredible. We are in a place, we don't even realize we're worshiping our own selves. When it's all about what makes you happy, you're an idol. I don't come to these scriptures, guys, and find anything in here, God exists to make me happy. I find over and over, God exists in me to make me holy, to bring me to personal holiness, family holiness, and purity. And what I've seen over and over in my own life, and I'm sure in our own culture today, in our own Christian culture, is we worship ourselves. And I'm telling you, when we, that's why, certainly this was not something new. That's why he said, guys, look, keep yourself from idols. We must guard ourselves. Anything that comes between you and your God, it's an idol. I looked up the word devotion, because I'll say this, when you're walking in fellowship with Him, you know what you find? You're devoted to Him. The word devotion means love, loyalty, and I was surprised by this, or enthusiasm for a person or a thing. Enthusiasm. Think about that in your relationship with how you view the Lord today. Do you love Him? Are you loyal to Him? The most important part of your Christian walk is not the part that everybody sees here. It's the part that nobody sees. Are you truly devoted to the Lord? Are you loyal? Are you enthusiastic about your relationship with Him? I tell you what, some of this convicted me as I read through and thought through it, just asked the Lord to search my own heart. It's so easy, guys. Idolatry, I believe, is in our old nature. I believe within our old nature we have a desire for self-love and self-worship. We don't see that, but you see it all the time today. And that's one of the things I will say this that's different between this generation and our older generations. There was a great devotion. There's a duty in regards to loving the Lord. And some of them got it. They got it, man. I mean, nowadays, you know what? I'm going to run this rabbit trail very quickly, and I know it's 2:30, but that's okay. Okay? Everybody's going, what? What? Man, it really went by. Just relax. It's not. I mean, just think about how you view your relationship with reading the Word. I mean, if you really, and I'm not here to body slam you. Listen, we're all in this together. My old nature's still in there, too. I still have to beat him down daily, moment by moment sometimes. But, I mean, just think about how much time have you spent in this treasure chest. The promises from the God of the universe are here. Well, I don't have time to read. You know, I've got too much to do. Idol or not? You answer. Idol or not? And listen, we can go there, you know, in a lot of different ways. But you guys see how easy? We really honestly have to evaluate that. Every single situation. I can remember I was sharing with Robbie last night. Because, you know, oftentimes when you have events, and I appreciate all of our Sunday school teachers, those that were able to come last night and those that couldn't. We're thankful for your continual labor of love at our church for year after year. And God is using your faithfulness to teach His Word. We're seeing the benefits, the fruits of that throughout our church ministry. Thank you for it and keep it up, okay? Those of you that are going off this year, get some rest. We need you back as soon as you've rekindled the fire, okay? Can you remember a time? I mean, it's easy at times to get your hopes pinned on how many people come. But I can remember this one time. I read one time where there was a gentleman. It was in London, and this has been back 100 years ago. It was on a Wednesday night, snowing. It was snowing so bad, the pastor couldn't make it to the church that night. But one of the lay preachers, one of the laymen in the church came in. There was two or three or four people on a snowy, blustery Wednesday night. And they came in and the layman just took charge and said, you know, I'm just going to share from the Word of God. And what they did, and I think about that in today's light. And I thought, what happened was he began to preach and he didn't. All of a sudden some guy came in from the back. I don't remember the name, forgive me for that. But he came in and he sat down at the back. And when he did, as he heard this message from a guy that wasn't even planning to preach, he was just able to get there and devoted enough to come on and come because he could get there because they may need him to be there. He shared the word of God. That man came to faith in Christ that night. That man wound up being a famous evangelist. And I think about that, and you know what I'm seeing? Think about today the excuses that you hear why people don't do the things of God. They don't. I mean, listen, we've got a church that has a lot of servants in it. I'm grateful for that. But think of the excuses. And listen, we're all guilty. Well, I'm just tired. I've been there. I understand. And I'm not talking about coming when you're sick. I'm not talking about when you're aging on up, you can't see to drive at night. We're not talking about that. We're talking about able-bodied folks, willing and able to serve the Lord, willing and able to do it. Why is it we don't have 100 in the choir? Why is it that we don't have folks lined up to serve in ministry positions? You know, we're not alone. This is throughout our whole community, our whole country. I'll tell you what it is. Idolatry. Not every case, but far more often than not, we worship ourselves. We have priorities, and we make them. We don't let God's Word set the priorities anymore. We set them in our own mind, our own heart. You remember that passage in Proverbs 14:12? You hear me quote all the time, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. You know what? You can be dead right in your own thinking, but if it's not scriptural thinking, you know what will happen? It may not surface the error of your idolatry until 20 years later in your children or your grandchildren. You may get away with it and feel real smug about your idolatry. You may blow it off. You may say, it's not me. I know better. You know what? God will reveal it in His time. And that's the tragedy. With all that God has done, why can't we trust Him in everything? With all that God has done in our lives, why can't we trust Him and walk in simple, childlike faith? I'll say this. This is how He ends it. I'll end it that way today as well. My brothers and sisters, keep yourself from idols, because you rob yourself of the vitality of the daily walk. There is nothing like walking in daily, moment-by-moment communion with God. If there are sin issues in your heart, you've got aught against a brother or a sister, you've got some issues of sin hidden in the closet, you need to confess them and forsake them. You can complain about everything or everybody, but until we get it right, you know what? Quit worshiping the idol. Let's get real with the Lord. Let's see what God can do. Let's ask Him to fill this place with His glory. He won't fill this place with His glory till He fills this place with His glory. When we stop worshiping ourselves and we start worshiping Him, you know what will happen? It'll happen here first, and then it'll happen here. And that's going to be my prayer for the coming year. Keep us from idols, Lord. Fill this place with Your glory. Five things. I'll say this. Someone has said, it doesn't matter what you believe, just as long as you're sincere about it. It doesn't matter who you worship, just as long as you're sincere. Let me say this. That's a lie from the pits of hell. It does matter. It does matter. Keep yourself from idols. Examine everything carefully, scripturally, prayerfully. Let God cleanse His hearts and cleanse the church. Five things He's done. He's given us eternal life. He hears and answers our prayers. He gives us victory over sin's penalty and power. He gives us a new position in life. And He gives us a new perspective for life. Praise Him. Glory. Let's pray. Father, we bow our hearts before You. You alone are worthy of our song. You alone are worthy of our celebration. You alone are worthy, God, of our devotion and our worship. Forgive us for our idolatry, our love of self, our love of family, more than love of You, our love of jobs, our love of money, our love of prestige, our love of control, our fear, allowing our own fears to direct us and not the Spirit nor the Word. God, may Your Holy Spirit purify us, and may You expose our idolatry. And Lord, start it in me. I pray first and foremost that you continue to reveal my own idolatry, that I might acknowledge it and that I might confess it as sin, that I might walk in purity of heart and mind before my wife and family and this church family. That, Lord, together, that together we might celebrate the wonder of you this Thanksgiving and this year. Fill this place with your glory. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.